Hear you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding.
For I give you a good doctrine, forsake him not my Lord.
For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother.
He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live.
Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Do not forsake her and she will preserve you, love her and she will keep you.
Wisdom is the principal food, therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting get understanding.
Exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee honor to honor when thou dost embrace her.
She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee.
Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many.
I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in the right paths.
When thou goest, thy steps shall not be strained. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble.
Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Father, please, just focus our hearts and our minds. Still our spirits, Lord. Let us not be silly. Let us hear. Let us receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to just first look at the first 13 verses. What you'll see as we go through this chapter, it's very similar to chapter 3. Very similar, and yet there's some differences. The first four verses, he's just starting with the importance of hearing instruction. He starts, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. The first word is hear. Hear. In Revelation chapter 2, in verse 7, Jesus says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Hear. Hear. We need to learn to listen. One of the biggest plagues of mankind is people who don't know how to hear. They don't know how to listen. They just know how to talk. And most of what they have to say is not worth listening to. We need to learn how to hear. Hear, ye children. Amen. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. The disciples were saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child, set him in the midst of them, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hear ye children. You have to be converted and become like little children. Little children don't know anything. Little children are very observant. They watch. They listen. They imitate. They try. And so here Solomon is speaking, obviously, to not only just his son, but also to all of Israel. Really, this is written all of Israel. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. But really, I mean, we can take this as God the Father speaking to us, his children. We need to be childlike. We need to learn how to listen. He says, hear you children, the instruction of a father. Amen.
Can I add James 1 verse 19 there?
Go ahead.
Say, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Amen. It's good wisdom. Be quick to hear. Be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Hear the instruction of a father. Look at that word, instruct. Instruct. What does instruction do? It puts you into proper structure. See, struct, same root word as structure. Instruct. I'm directing you into the proper structure, the proper order. And look at chapter 6, instruction. Chapter 6, verse 23. Thomas, if you want to read that.
Proverbs 6:23.
Yes.
For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Amen. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, we know Jesus is the way of life. Amen. He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. Did you notice how, with his disciples, how much he instructed them? He wasn't just like, I love you guys, you guys are awesome, go do it. No, come back, they're all excited, we're casting out devils. He goes, listen, don't be excited that you're casting out devils. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Okay? Simon Peter goes, you ain't going to the cross. He goes, get behind me, Satan. You savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. See, that's instruction, that's reproof, correcting people, setting them in order. Why? This is the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We need to be reproved. Amen? That's part of what instruction is. It's reproofs. Remember, if you prove something, you test it. If you reprove it, okay, so I've already shown you once. You're going off mark. Let me reprove you. Let me retest. Let me show you. Okay, we need to get on course here. This is the way of life. And notice, but not just the instruction, it's the instruction of a father. Amen? If you go to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Look at what fathers are commanded to do. Ephesians 6 verse 4. This is instruction of a father. Brother Mons, if you got it.
It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonishing of the Lord.
Amen. So bring them up in the training, or here in the King James, nurture and admonition. Nurture and admonition. That's the instruction of a father. It's nurture. Nurture is love. It's putting the right things in. And admonition. Admonition is warning, admonishing. Don't go that way. I told you about this. Don't. That's the instruction of a father. It's nurture and admonition. We need the instruction of fathers. In the scriptures, the teaching the children is primarily given to the man to do, not the woman. Now, obviously, the woman is an important part, and she's helping that man to teach the children. They're her children as well. But notice how the world gets it backwards. In the world's way, man just makes the money, makes the bread, he food, toys, give you the stuff, take you to the ball games. But he doesn't actually teach his children. He doesn't instruct his children. And the woman's always trying to teach, and then eventually she's just nagging. And then it's just, mom, just, you know, can't stand her. And, you know, dad's cool. No, it's not how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to receive instruction of a father.
No, we're in a fatherless generation.
Amen. But God's raising up fathers. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Look at what Paul said. This isn't just true in terms of the earthly house. But this is also true. 1 Corinthians 4:15. This is also important in the spiritual house. In fact, look back at verse 14. Paul says, I write not these things to shame you. Now, they were being shamed a little bit, and they needed to be shamed a little bit, but he wasn't trying to shame them. Why? He says, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. That's called admonition. I warn you. Why, Paul was a spiritual father to these people. He was the one who won them to Christ, and they were so off the mark, and so he couldn't just leave them and just bless them in that. He had to warn them and correct them, but he's doing it as a father with the heart. By the way, Paul wept when he wrote this letter. In fact, when Paul sent this letter, After he sent it, he repented to God. Said, God, was I not supposed to send that? I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have sent that. And then later, when they actually received the letter and they wept and they sorrowed and they repented, then he realized that actually I did do the right thing. But he actually second-guessed sending this letter because it was so intense. Because he loved them so much, he didn't want to hurt them, but he had to warn them. Look at verse 15. He says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Listen, that's the difference between someone who's just a Bible teacher and someone who's a spiritual father in the faith. A Bible teacher will say, hey, don't do what I do. I'm a sinner too. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. No, we don't need more Bible teachers. We need spiritual fathers who will say, listen, I've walked this road. I've overcome this thing. Follow me as I follow Christ. Not follow me so I can have a big, you know, glorious. No, no, no. Follow me as I follow Christ because I'm looking out for you, son. I'm looking out for you, daughter. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. This is how Solomon starts Proverbs chapter 4. We need fathers. And may it be so in this church, amen?
Amen.
May this not just be Bible teaching.
Amen.
May this be the instruction of fathers. You know? The things that we teach you, these are things that we have walked in. These are things we have proved. These are things that we have done. These are things we... Look, I've made many hard decisions in my life. Tough decisions that most people won't make for Jesus Christ and for his gospel. And so when I tell you about these things, I'm not just speaking. I'm not just talking words. I'm not just trying to preach a sermon. I'm speaking because I've lived it.
That when you're talking about the father and the mother, remember we went to that talk first. Now, it just confirms when the father does the commandment, he does all the commands in the house, and the wife lays down the law.
Yeah.
In verse 20, which says, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother.
Amen.
Mother lays out the law, the father's got to make sure that the children obey the law of the mother. He's the strong one in the house.
Is that chapter 2?
Chapter 6.
Verse
20.
Okay.
Keep the father.
There it is, forsake not the law. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. So hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. We need to learn to listen to instruction, and we need to attend. What does attend mean?
Pay attention.
Yes. Pay attention. Pay attention. Be ready. Be ready to obey. Be ready to do. Be ready for action. That's attend. When you give attendance to something,
you're present with it.
You're present with it, but you're also ready for action. In fact, if I would encourage you, we don't want to do it now, but just look up in the scriptures how the word attend or attendance is used. And many times it's referring to ministers or servants that are attending on kings or on royalty, and they're there waiting, watching. If they have a need, boom, I meet the need. They have, boom, I'm here to serve. I'm ready. I'm there. I'm not just present, but I'm falling asleep. I'm present, but I'm giving attention to. Like in the army, when you give attention, you're ready for action. And attend to what? What are we supposed to attend to? We attend to no understanding. No. And we've talked about this before. No in the Bible. He's talking about intimate oneness knowledge. He's not just talking about head knowledge.
Spiritual.
He's talking about deep in the heart and the spirit. And yes, and then we experience it. And it's to no understanding. To no understanding. If you look at Jeremiah 3, verse 15, look at what God, this was a promise God made to his people. Jeremiah 3. Israel had gone way out of the way. And in Jeremiah, they were way out of the way. And they're getting ready for judgment. But God promised that he would never destroy Israel. And God promised that he would save a remnant and that he would bring them back and he would restore them. And look at what he says. Now, it was, if you look at verse 14, Jeremiah 3:14, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion."
That's actually awesome.
It's awesome, but it's pretty extreme. He was basically saying, I'll only find one in a city. That's how messed up you guys are. But I'll be able to find one. I'll take one out of that city. The rest are going to die, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I'll take one out, like Lot. I'll take two out of a family. Okay? But what's the promise? Verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
That's important.
So he says, attend to no understanding. See, I got knowledge and understanding, and this was a promise of God. My pastors that I give you, that'll be after my heart. That's Solomon was a pastor after God's heart. Unfortunately, he strayed later on. But he was a pastor of God's heart. And he's trying to feed the children of God knowledge and understanding. I want you to know understanding. Ephesians 1, let's just look at that real quick. We've looked at it before, but this is a good prayer. Notice Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. Paul didn't pray that the church would have a great time. He didn't pray that. He didn't pray that they would have great services. Notice what he prays in Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. See that? We got wisdom, we got revelation, we've got knowledge, we've got eyes of understanding being enlightened, so that we can know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Paul goes, man, I want you guys to have that spirit to open your eyes of your understanding so you can finally see it and you can finally know it. And it's the same thing Solomon's saying. 1,500 years before Paul. Well, no, not that long. 1,050 years before Paul. He's saying, attend to no understanding. This is important. You know, I think it's important for us to understand God is not a fool. God is not simple. God is not shallow. God is a king. God is a judge. And if we're going to be his children, then one day we are going to be kings and judges too. In order to be kings and judges, we better know what he says. We better understand his ways. We better have good knowledge and good understanding. Why should we listen to the instruction of a father? Because verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Good doctrine. Jesus taught doctrine. In Matthew 7, 28 and 29, it said that the people were astonished at his doctrine after they heard him teach. They go, never heard anybody teach like this. Why? Because he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. He didn't say, well, this Bible school says this, and well, this group says this. And no, he taught with authority. Why? Because he was from the Father. So he knew the Father. So he could speak about the Father like he knew him because he didn't know him. Yeah, he had the authority. Exactly. I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Did you know that Jesus has a law? Did you know that? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's law in the New Testament. We're under the law of Christ.
The spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes, it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's right. Galatians 6:2, the law of Christ.
I need to get
Okay, So obviously this is Solomon speaking, we know that, but you can sure see how this can be like Jesus in type. Because verse 3, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Obviously this is Solomon, he was David's son, the son of a king. He was Bathsheba's son. But in type, this could be like Jesus speaking to us, the beloved of the father, the beloved of his mother. Who's the mother of Jesus? It's a good question. Who's yeah. Revelation 12, right?
Yeah.
No. Who's the mother of Jesus? I think it's Israel. Yeah. So anyways, but that'll be a different time, different study. Okay, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, okay, where does it all start? It starts with the Father's instruction. And then where does it start with us? Let thine heart. It always starts with the heart. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Starts with the heart.
Confirms your preaching.
What did Philip say to the Ethiopian eunuch? If you believe with all your heart, I'll baptize you. If you don't believe with all your heart, I ain't baptizing you. It's a waste of time. Okay? What does Romans 10 say?
You can believe.
With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Heart. God's after the heart. So he says, let thine heart retain my words. Retain my words. Jesus Christ said the words, right? John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you. They are spirit and they are life. How do you eat Jesus? How do you drink his blood? Do I eat Jesus by doing this? Do I drink his blood by doing this? No, it says the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You eat them and you drink them through his words, through letting those words dwell in your heart. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Let thine heart retain my words. Notice, retain, you got to keep it. Because when you read the parable of the sower, there's people where the words hit, but then the devil snatches it. Or the words hit, but then trial and persecution burn it up. It can't really take root. Or the words hit, but then it gets choked out by all this junk in your life, and it can't, no. Let your hearts retain my words. And notice, keep my commandments and live. Yeah. Keep my commandments and live. Did you know that the only way you can live forever is if you keep God's commandments? Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Now again, there's a lot of confusion. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not of works, right? Not of works of the law. And yet, keep my commandments and live. When you look at Revelation, look, let's go, in fact, let's go there real quick. Go to Revelation 22. So again, sometimes it seems like the Bible's contradicting itself, but you got to fit it all together. Be patient and let God piece it together for you. But I mean, look at this. Look at Revelation 22. Verse 14. Somebody read that. Revelation 22:14.
Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city.
Only way you're entering into that city, the only way you have the right to the tree of life, you got to do his commandments. You have to keep his commandments. Look at Hebrews. Watch this. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 5. Now, some people go, it's not of works, it's just faith.
Faith without work is dead.
Mm. Well, they're right. It's not of our works. It's not like you can, let me just do works and I can do. No, no, no. We'll see. But let's see how this will all fit together perfectly. It's not a contradiction. Hebrews 5, look at verse 9. Someone read that.
And being made perfect, he came, became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him.
So who is Jesus the author of eternal salvation to?
To those who obey him.
To those who obey him. Yes. You want to have right? You got to do his commandments. Keep my commandments and live. And then people go, well, okay, so I got to keep the Ten Commandments?
No.
No. Now, you'll see, actually, you will fulfill those Ten Commandments. If you keep the commandments I'm about to show you, you'll go way past those Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments will be like bare basic minimums. But we're not looking at the Ten Commandments. What are the commandments of God in the New Testament? And I'm going to sum up the commandments of God in three commandments. First one is Acts 17. This is the first commandment of God in the New Testament that goes to all the earth.
Thanks.
Acts 17. Keep my commandments and live. How can you disrespect God and his commandments and disobey his commandments, spit in his face, and yet you're going to get into his kingdom? If you want right to enter, you got to keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Well, here's his commandments. This is the first one, Acts 17, verse 30.
Acts
17, verse 30.
Repent. Truly, these times of ignorance, God
has
looked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent.
First command of God in the New Testament, all men everywhere must repent.
I love to preach
this commandment. Yeah. He commands all men everywhere to repent. No false gods, no idolatry, no other thing before God. You got to repent and turn to the living God. You need to put away your ancestors. You need to put away Allah. You need to put away Muhammad. You need to put away Buddha. You need to put away Mary. You need to put away anything else.
You need to put away yourself.
Yeah, put away yourself. Amen. You might have to actually keep it. You might have to put away Hollywood and sports and whatever the things are that you exalt above God.
Yeah.
Commands all men everywhere to repent. Okay. What are his other commandments? 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Now look, there's many, sub-commandments under these, but really these, as far as I can tell, these are like the three main commandments in the New Testament.
There's 23.
And I wouldn't be surprised, there'd be three, right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
23.
Verse 23 and 24, yep. Go ahead, you want to read it?
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us a command. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Amen. Those are the three commandments of the New Testament. Repent, believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, love one another. If you fulfill those, you have right to the tree of life, and you'll fulfill the Ten Commandments and everything else so much more.
So this basically disqualifies this whole sinner's prayer. Like, just call Jesus into your heart and you'll go to heaven.
The sinner's prayer doesn't save anybody.
Yeah. The truth. Can I share a scripture? John 14, verse 15. Are you getting there? Sorry.
Yeah, let's go. It's a good scripture. John 14.
John 14, verse 15. Anybody can read it, I guess.
If you love me, go ahead.
If you love me, and this is Jesus speaking. Mm. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you love Jesus? That's hectic.
That's why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If he's your Lord,
But you see, love doesn't do your neighbor any harm. That's why the love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
When you love.
Yeah.
Yeah. To see what he just brought forth, John really elaborates on that in 2 John and in 3 John. We're not going to look there, but if you read those two epistles, 2 John and 3 John, you'll just see how love and truth and keeping commandments. Yeah. They're all intertwined. Love, truth, keeping commandments. Walking in the truth is love. Love is keeping commandments. Keeping the commandments is walking in the truth. Like they're all connected.
Love is the bond of perfection.
Okay. So then in verse 5-9, after he gets you to a place where you're first going to be still and you'll be ready to listen and you'll be ready to receive and retain and keep, then in verse 5-9, he's talking about going after. So this is the thing with God, is first we need to open up. We need to receive. Okay, you don't first chase. First you receive.
Yeah.
It's like a little baby has to just receive. But then, after you receive, then there comes, you got to chase, you got to go. And so you got to, what is it?
You got to act.
You got to act, exactly. This is something you got to pursue after. It's not just just receive, but it's also seek, you know? So there's both. So verse 5, now he says, get, go for it, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. So yes, receive it. Yes, hold on to it, but then go get it. Go get more. And it's going to come from God's mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Amen. Preservation is in not forsaking God's wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Amen. Let me just show you real quick in the New Testament. Go to the book of Jude. Looking at preserving and keeping. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. In verse 1, he writes this to those who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. See, so our preservation is in Jesus Christ. But you can't forsake Jesus. Amen. In Hebrews, he warns about don't forsake him. Don't turn back. Don't draw back like those guys who came out of Egypt. And they turned back and wanted to go back to Egypt. Don't draw back. And then in verse 20, he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. See that? Keep yourselves. So if you love her, she'll keep you. If you love her, she'll keep you. But he says, keep yourselves in it, in the love. So love will keep you, but then also keep yourself in the love. You know, it's just interesting. You see these, how these things work. And then back in Proverbs, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Principal. That's like the chief. It's like the chief thing. I don't know. In the New Testament, it seems like charity is the principal thing, or love. But here he says wisdom is the principal thing. And again, maybe perhaps because he's training his children to be kings and to be royalty. So if you're going to rule a kingdom, maybe wisdom is the principal thing in that manner.
Yeah, really,
yeah, and you see, you know, when Solomon establishes the throne in 1 Kings, the first two chapters, when you see how Solomon establishes the throne had to be established in judgment. It had to be established in judgment. David has said, "Man, make sure you take this guy out. Make sure you put this guy out of the priest's office. Make sure you kill him. You know what needs to be done." It had to put out the evildoers. Needed the wisdom on who do I need to cut out of this kingdom so that this thing can be unified and blessed moving forward. Because if I have the wrong people in there, if I have the wrong seed, it's gonna mess this thing up.
Can I read a scripture quickly out of 1 Samuel 15:22?
Sure.
It says, and Samuel said, that the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice,
yes,
and to hearken than the fat of rams. Just think, obeying His word, His commandments, His guidance, His everything, like His wisdom.
Amen.
I wanted to share it earlier, but
obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Yeah.
So wisdom, get wisdom. It's the principal thing. So get it. And with all that getting, get understanding. So it's almost implied in all through that here, if you look, wisdom usually comes first and then understanding comes after. So he's saying, go after wisdom, get it. And then with that wisdom, get understanding.
First thing to wisdom to get understanding.
That's what it appears like as I search these scriptures carefully. It looks like wisdom comes first.
Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom.
Yes. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So the fear of the Lord, and he says to depart from evil is understanding. So the fear of the Lord will get you wisdom. And then with that fear of the Lord, you can depart from evil, which is understanding. So exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace, crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings. The years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. Amen. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straight. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You see how important instruction, wisdom, understanding, seeking, receiving, holding it, getting it. This is so important. So then basically from verse 14 through 19, he's just warning about the evil path. And then I love verse 18. It's one of my favorite verses. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. And so there's these two paths. And there's the evil path, and he's saying, no, but the path of the just. And remember, the just shall live by faith. And it shines more and more into the perfect day. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 1. And then the end of this chapter is just beautiful. Again, just going back to attending to my words, incline to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, right in the middle. You know, they need to be in the primary spot of your heart. For thy life, one of those that find them health to all their flesh, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Amen. Scripture tells us to look to Jesus, looking straight at him. Ponder the path thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Okay, so I'm just trying to get through it quickly for time's sake. But this is a wonderful chapter. You're just seeing the importance. So again, over and over, Solomon, receive it, hold it, grasp it, go for it. Don't turn aside to the right or the left. Don't be led astray. Stay on the path, stay focused. And this is so important. It all starts with the instruction of a father. It all starts with the words of the living God. You know, one of the things I just want to point out is when you look at Jesus' ministry, he preached words. He taught words. You know, he didn't just come to give them a good experience, although people experience things, but he preached words. He taught words. When you read the book of Acts, they weren't running around just trying to give people good experience. They're preaching words. They're exhorting with words. Yeah. It says that with many other words did Peter exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. They preached words. God communicates through words.
Yes,
I'm not saying it's the only way he communicates, but Jesus is the word of God. And he's trying to bring words, and he's saying, receive it, believe it, put it in the middle of your heart. Learn it, grow. So I just tell you, me personally, I learned from God and I believed God through his word first. Through his word first is how I came to know God and how I came to believe God.
Yes.
And then afterwards, he would show himself to me in other ways and I would experience God and he would confirm. But the experiences are not the foundation of my faith. The foundation of my faith is what he says. And so for instance, let me explain. I'll give you just a clear example. For most of my life, I never experienced a good male-female relationship. Okay? Never experienced it. And yet, I read in the Bible that God made male and made female and said it was very good. So my faith is not based on my experience, because if my faith was based on my experience, then I would have thought, you know, very poorly of females and male relationships. But my faith isn't in my experience. My faith is based in the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what I experience. God said it's very good. So if I haven't experienced it being very good, it's not because God's wrong. It's because I don't know what I'm doing, or she doesn't know what she's doing, or we together don't know what we're doing. The problem is not with God. His Word is true. My faith is based on what He says. And then out of that, then by the grace of God, hopefully I can begin to experience it as I begin to apply it. Amen? And we need to apply it to experience, and that's what he wants. He wants us to experience. He doesn't want just head knowledge, but I'm saying, like, I came to know God through his word. You know? I didn't need worship music to experience God. I would read my Bible and I'd get on my face, go, glory to God, are you kidding me? This is what, like, he would reveal himself so strongly to me through what he says. And yeah, he says, Here, listen, my words. My words. And we just got to make sure that his instruction is really what's directing our path and really what is the anchor of our faith. And not, you know, just saying, you know, attend to my words. Let's believe his word. Even if we haven't experienced it yet, we'll believe it. And as we believe it and we receive it, then we will experience it. And he will show himself. And we will know. And then we'll love him that much more. But our faith is based in his word. Amen? So that's it's Proverbs 4. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. But I think that's good. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Solomon's wisdom. Father, thank you for your instruction. Please, God, teach us, guide us, nurture us, admonish us, correct us, chasten us, Lord. You're a good Father, Lord. We love you. Amen. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't despise your chastening anymore. Yes. Amen. That we would love it. We would see it as a blessing. And that if we don't like being chastened, we would just learn to stop disobeying. Yes. We'd learn to stop being wayward. Yes. We'd learn to just be still and trust you and walk in obedience. Father, help us, Lord. Bless everybody here, Lord. Thank you for everybody who came to hear the word of God. And Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in us. We commit ourselves to you. We commit our plans to you. We say, Lord, lead us, direct us, instruct us, guide us. You're wonderful. Please, Father, give us practical wisdom. Practical wisdom in each of our lives, in each of the things we have to face, families, business, church, ministry, evangelism. Give us practical wisdom. Lord, we love you. We trust you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.